This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Guess what, Brent?
It's Friday. Welcome, everybody, to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne. And we are going to finish your week here. Welcome to our lunch hour. Our work hour.
We work.
Local issues, local ideas, local institutions, local initiatives. And, of course, a wee bit of politics thrown in there here. So great to have you here today. We're going to talk about some really important things happening in the Salem and Kaiser area, Marion and Polk County. And you know what? Sometimes we got to talk about Dallas and Independence and Monmouth a little bit more. A lot of listeners out there in Polk County.
Lots going on out there.
And they're becoming a bigger and bigger part of the region's economy, the region's population, as people are looking for places outside of the costs of living in city of Salem proper and commuting in over our one bridge. So
right. That's why they're moving out there, to get away from the bridge.
All right. I want to invite a discussion today. We're going to talk about NORPAC here coming up a little bit and those jobs that were lost and how that happened and what the outlook looks like. But top of mind for me today is the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court saying that ICE, the federal immigration arm, cannot make arrests in courthouses or thereabouts. And I was wondering what you thought about it. 503-393-1430. I think there's a flip side to this. There's two sides of this. And you see them in the article. You can read about it in the Statesman Journal or Salem Reporter. So basically they're saying if ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, right, if they have somebody they believe to be illegal, has broken our immigration laws, they cannot come and arrest them in the courthouse. And this has become an issue because if someone's appearing, chances are that they know that they're appearing. They know that they have a court date, and they know when and where they can pick them up, right? So
that's only logical.
It's a little bit of advantageous scheduling there, and some people find that disruptive to the judicial process. And in the case of the Supreme Court justice, it's like, you know, it's not great that you're arresting people before we can finish our judicial process, right? And in the case of the advocates for immigration, they don't want them picked up at all, and they don't want them to be afraid to come to these buildings of justice. What do you think, Dave Bourne?
Well, I think it's wrong that they can't even ask people if they're legal or not. Because when you get pulled over by the police, what's the first thing you give them? Your driver's license and your registration.
I wouldn't know anything about that, but I heard you have.
I do, a couple of times this year already. And they're expensive, by the way. But if you have to give your license to show your identity of who you are and that you're legal, when you're driving your car and you get pulled over for speeding or whatever, or you have to get on a plane, no matter if you're flying in the United States or not, or, I don't know, to get a loan.
Just about anything, yeah.
Just pretty much about anything. You have to have some kind of identification to prove that you're a legal resident. So what's wrong with them knowing where the illegals are going to be? And do their job of enforcing our laws.
This gets complicated, folks, because it intersects with how what the law is and how we feel about the law. And people think how they feel about the law should reign supreme. I always have an issue with that.
Yes.
And it intersects with people's social justice agendas, right?
Right.
And, well, I think they should be allowed to stay here. Some people have a decent argument, depending on the situation. I understand that, but this is federal law enforcement and the law of the land, and they're enforcing a law, and should we get in the way? Anyway, in this specific case, and please give us a call, 503-393-1430, if you want to weigh in. So our Supreme Court Chief Justice is Martha Walters. So she says it's now prohibited to make a civil arrest in-state courthouses without a judicial arrest warrant, which I believe means that means a judge has issued a warrant for the arrest of, because of some crime, right? Obviously something that needs expediency and
right.
Some danger and what have you. So, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. So there's this Uniform Trial Court Committee, and they put in a recommendation that this take place, that this ban takes place. And they don't want ICE for making arrests in courthouses while or just acting on their own warrants. They want them to go to a court, get a judicial warrant for people's arrest before they are allowed to arrest them on the properties. So
what if they don't arrest them in the hallway and they arrest them outside?
Yeah, they don't want them to do that either.
Come on.
And again,
it's out in public. I mean, if you were being arrested, where would you rather be arrested? In the restaurant in front of a whole bunch of people, or in a courtroom hallway?
Well, the point is that people don't want to be arrested.
So they won't come
to the courthouse. They won't come to the courthouse. So the Supreme Court Justice, her quote, adopting this rule protects the integrity of the state judicial process and will allow state courts to fully hold accountable people accused of a crime. Right? She says arrests in courthouses have interfered with judicial proceedings and removed criminal defendants before they've been sentenced or completed their sentences. So it might be a situation when someone's being prosecuted and then plucked out of the prosecution of a crime to have an immigration enforcement action. I get her point.
Yeah.
I get her point. If someone is there and they're being prosecuted for a crime, or, and this is brought up also in the article, if someone is there and they're a witness to a crime to achieve a justice, you don't want the witness to disappear because ICE has a warrant. Right?
Wow.
So they're like, don't come to the courthouse to do your job. ICE, do it somewhere else. And I could understand the Chief Justice's perspective on that. I am one of those people that both sides, you know, probably doesn't like that. I can see this argument on both sides. I believe that all immigration should be legal. I think all immigration should go through legal channels.
I agree. Yeah. That's how it usually is.
In some countries, not here.
Yeah.
So that makes me to activists. That makes me a Mexican-hating, cold-hearted, xenophobic bigot, right? That's the way our...
That list is getting longer, by the
way.
Right?
That's what it makes me. It's like, but no, it's a pretty rational statement. I think immigration should all come through legal channels. Although I recognize that the federal government's not doing their job.
True.
Right? They're not doing their job.
They're handcuffed.
And so we have all of this leakage, and it's a big problem. So they list as people that they don't want arrested and why they favor this ban. Witnesses, victims of crimes, right? People who are coming to court to take responsibility for their crimes, either, you know, restitution, plead guilty, what have you. People involved in civil matters, people with court business, they may fear being deported. Well, you know what? If you're not legal, you're always fearing being deported. Nobody who's legal needs to fear that.
It's like a criminal, always being afraid of being caught.
So that's where I'm like, yeah, but you're saying they don't want to be arrested for this one crime while they're helping out with this other crime. I still think that being here illegal is a crime.
Yes.
And so the people who aren't cold-hearted Mexican-hating bigots like myself, apparently, that's the biggest discussion in America is like, is this a crime for them to be here? Have they broken a law yet? And some people do not see them as having done anything except try to do the best for their family and blah, blah, blah. And you know how the argument goes.
Right.
Anyway, so now it's really coming. We don't talk about immigration issues here on Newsmakers too much, but it's definitely hitting home, right, close to home, because you go down to the courthouse now in Marion County, and there'll be no ICE enforcement in the courthouse, in its hallways, in its meeting rooms, and maybe not even its grounds. I don't know. But people, let me get this gentleman's name right. He's saying how people are afraid to go to the courthouses, and they're supposed to be places of justice. His name's Ivan Hernandez, and he's a spokesman for the immigrant rights group CAUSA. And he says, this is a big win for Oregonians.
It is?
I can hear some of you guys, and I can't believe you're not calling. I can hear you some people right now. They're not Oregonians.
Right.
They are citizens of blank, right? They may be, whether it's Venezuela or Guatemala or Mexico or the Congo, doesn't matter. Are you really calling them Oregonians? Yeah, they live here, right? But mm-hmm. it's a big win for Oregonians and for people to be able to take come to these courthouses without fearing being arrested. I don't know. Come on, ICE. I guess they can if they know who they are and that they have a court date, you'd think they'd know enough to arrest them, you know, where they are.
Yeah.
Somewhere else. I don't know.
Okay.
We've got to take a break.
Yeah.
If you want to join the conversation, it's 503-393-1430. We're going to come back. We're going to talk, finish this up and talk a little bit about NORPAC and all the jobs that lost and why they were lost and where they're going to go.
Okay.
I'm Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, Mr. Bourne, Bourne Ready, 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
30 million adults suffer from osteoarthritis. Is there hope? A new medical technology, regenerative medicine therapy, is giving relief to thousands without surgery or drugs. Call Oregon Medical Center for a free consultation to learn more and see if regenerative medicine therapy is right for you. At 503-345-6940. That's 503-345-6940. Or visit OregonMedicalCenters.com, located in Salem and Beaverton.
Fall is a great time of year, except when the colors of fall cover up your lawn. L&L Equipment has the solution. The Steel BR56C Blower, priced at $179.95. If you have something a little more serious, take a look at the Steel MS-170 Chainsaw, only $179.95. It's easy to handle and big enough to get the job done. Get your yard back with Steel and L&L Equipment, located in Dallas or online at lnlequipment.com. That's lnlequipment.com.
Hi, this is Wade with Mid Valley Line-X, your one-stop truck shop. Fall is such a great time of year. The nights are getting cooler and football season has arrived. This also means rain and wind. Let us help you protect your truck. We carry running boards, window visors, floor mats, seat covers, and of course, spray-in bed liners. We can help with fifth wheel hitches, gooseneck hitches, and any other towing options. Swing by, say hi. We are located on Silverton Road next to the State Fairgrounds. Mid Valley Line-X. Making your truck great.
Don't you know that breakfast is the most important meal of the day? This is Jim Madden, owner of Busey Court Restaurant in downtown Salem. Yes, breakfast is the meal that gets you going every day, but lunch is just as important. And if you haven't been in for lunch, we've got the menu you've got to try. All of our hamburgers and chicken fried steaks are made fresh with certified Angus beef every day. Come on in, give us a try. We open at 6:30 a.m. on weekdays, 7 a.m. on Saturday, and 8 a.m. on Sunday. We close each day at 2 p.m., and we're located at 250 Court Street in downtown Salem. Ask us about our catering. We look forward to seeing you.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on Newsmakers, and we are talking about the Supreme Court Chief Justice Martha Walters enacting a rule in courts prohibiting civil arrests in courthouses without a judicial arrest warrant. What this means is immigration. It's targeting the immigration enforcement. They don't want to happen in the courthouses in the state. That'll be a new rule, and I want to know how you feel about it. So Dwayne's called in, and he wants to weigh in. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I think they're missing the point with even discussing arresting anybody on state court grounds or wherever. Really, the question is whether whoever summoned the person that's supposedly an illegal immigrant or whatever to appear at court, they're going to be a state official or someone of that sort, and if they summon someone whom they know as a result of being notified by INS or whoever, if they have a list of them, if they summon someone there whom they know to be on the INS wanted list or whatever you want to call it, they're actually in violation of federal law, and it's not the person that's being summoned that's necessarily in violation at that point, but the person that issued the summons, if they in fact did know or had reason to believe that this person was wanted by INS and then did not notify INS, they're in violation of federal law. And that confrontation is going to happen sooner or later.
It's been happening, actually.
And, well, I don't know if there's been... What I'm expecting is that there's going to be criminal prosecution of state and local officials that do that if they can be proven to have knowledge of that they're summoning someone whom they also know is wanted under federal law. You see what I'm saying? It's not a question of the individual that comes down there or doesn't. It's a question of the official that generates the summons.
Now, we've been having I've heard stories of them like escorting the supposed, quote, illegal out the back door so that ICE can't arrest them.
Wow. Well, that happened in Portland. There
right.
was a judge in Portland who allowed facilitated the immigrant or whoever, I don't know what the correct label here is in the legal sense, out through her own chambers. That's probably actionable. It may not be, politically advisable right at this point in time, particularly with this election coming up, but sooner or later that confrontation is going to be unavoidable, because if the federal government continues to allow it without enforcing it, they're going to put themselves in a position where under equal protection they can't enforce it at all, and that won't stand. I mean, that's actually why they keep trying to enforce the marijuana laws, even under Obama. It's not because they don't approve of people smoking pot or whatever. It's because if they can be proven to have refused to enforce the law, then arguably the law can be thrown out under equal protection.
Interesting perspective.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's the way I see it anyway.
Well, I appreciate you joining the conversation.
Legal expert that I am.
We'll
talk to you later.
Thanks. Dwayne,
thank you, Dwayne, for calling in on the issue. And all right, so... I've already said in the last segment, I understand why the Supreme Court justice and why some activists wouldn't want this to happen in the courthouse. And they would want to complete a judicial process or whatever they're showing up for.
Well, what's to stop them from disappearing afterwards, though?
Yes.
Yes, what?
I'm just saying, I get that why the judges would want them and the people involved in the legal proceedings would want the legal proceedings to be completed before they vanish and get deported or go into. I get that. And then there's this quote from Mr. Hernandez. People have been afraid to go to these courthouses, which are supposed to be places of justice. Right? That is exactly what I was talking about at the end of the last segment, is he has a perspective that immigration enforcement is not just.
Mm-hmm.
The whole perspective that there is no crime here, people. So you go to the courthouse, there are plenty of Americans, naturalized Americans, and legal immigrants who believe that illegal immigration enforcement is justice. And like, Mr. Hernandez, you're saying that the ICE people aren't enacting any element of justice. And I believe I would believe that he wholeheartedly feels that way,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, so that's some tough business, and I get it. Maybe we can do our immigration, and we're going to have to do our immigration enforcement outside the Oregon courthouses and facilities that way. I certainly know if my family were victims of crime and somebody was helping us out and getting justice for our family and the witness have to be undocumented, I'd like him or her to have the ability to testify.
Right. Then send him back.
What do you mean you deported my witness? And now
right.
My family's killer is...
Case by case basis.
Da. Yeah. So anyway, that's an example where this federal policy and this federal discussion hits really close to home.
Right.
It's right down the street, folks. Marion County Polk County Courthouse. And that's what makes it a local issue. Really breaks it down. All right, moving on from that, let's move on to about 900 people losing their jobs.
Sad.
So, and it's not even a done deal. I mean, the headlines are there. If you look in the Salem Reporter, the headlines there about people being laid off and they're going to lose their jobs. Some of them this week,
today.
And then if you die, that's right, today. But if you dive into the article, well, they're going to lose it anyway. These are seasonal jobs that ended today.
Oh.
These are seasonal workers, and it's the end of the packing. It's the end of the processing season. So that has nothing to do with his operations or the bankruptcy of NORPAC and so forth. That's relatively normal chain of events.
So you mean they twisted the headlines around to make it sound like 900 are losing their jobs permanently?
Well, there are people potentially losing them, but not until January, not until after the holidays.
Right.
So the majority of those people are going to stay working. They're going to continue to process, but their jobs are being terminated unless there is a buyer. Right.
Oh, huh, okay.
And there's reason for optimism that they're going to find a buyer. So that as well. Oh, yeah, all their jobs are gone, like it's already a done deal. It's not true. We're in mid-November, folks, and we're talking about maybe getting to mid-January. All of them probably should polish up their resume, mm-hmm. right, because it doesn't look great. Looks a little uncertain, and nobody likes to be in a position of uncertainty. However, they are going to go into January before all those jobs are cut, and hopefully between now and then, they can find a buyer and resurrect this thing. So a lot of quotes in the article. Sean Campbell is NORPAC's president, CEO. And you've been paying attention. You know, NORPAC just built a brand new facility or headquarters in Salem not that long ago.
Right.
And then they merged their headquarters and their operations and brought it all to Salem. It was a big deal. Brought their executive level jobs to Salem, invested in some new infrastructure in combination with Henningsen Cold Storage. It was a big investment down there at Madrona and 25th in that area, along with their other plants. And since then, one of their plants was shuttered and sold to Oregon Fruit, and those jobs were retained. Good Oregon story. Kind of a switch in the market almost, where one plant closes down and can't sustain its operations, but Oregon Fruit can take over, and they're growing, and so forth. So that was 2013, it was moving its headquarters, and things looked really good for NORPAC. And then here we are, we're just 5-6 years from it being built, and the article referenced a shift towards frozen food manufacturing, but I know they do frozen food manufacturing there, so it's a little confusing. Hopefully we'll get some more clarity on this. Maybe the Salem Reporter can dive deeper into it. This is a business that goes back to the 20s. And Staten, back to the 20s. It's gone through a few permutations. We've all bought flavor-packed frozen vegetables. I think there's some in my freezer right now.
Right, mine too.
So,
I'm curious how they got there.
Right.
Let's talk about that
after
the break.
What happened? Is this model broken? Is the management broken? Did they get over leveraged with their consolidation in their new building? Is it the minimum wage and scheduling, predictive scheduling, and sick leave requirements? Is it all of those things that made it less and less profitable to employ relatively entry-level workers and seasonal workers? Is it the workforce? What happened to NORPAC? I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're going to continue with this right after the break. You're listening to 1430 KYKM. Salem, you're listening.
Time now for your Capital Toyota Message of Hope from Liberty House.
Children who have experienced trauma are often affected in ways that aren't easy to recognize. Hope and Wellness Services at Liberty House provides trauma-informed counseling for children and families who have experienced abuse, neglect, trauma, or grief. Children can find pathways to healing and hope.
This has been your Capital Toyota Message of Hope from Liberty House. Find out more online at libertyhousecenter.org.
Here's Hunter with your HalfPriceOregon.com deal of the day.
The McClay Country Inn offers a unique dining experience full of old-time charm. But wait until you taste the steak, seafood, and juicy burgers. $20 gift certificates are on sale for just $8.88 at HalfPriceOregon.com right now. $20 McClay Country Inn gift certificates, just $8.88, but only at HalfPriceOregon.com.
Thanks, Hunter. Find this deal and much more at HalfPriceOregon.com.
People who want professional, top-quality work call F&W Fence Company for their fencing needs. Our specialties include powdered chain link, wood, vinyl, wrought iron, and electric-operated gates for home, commercial, and industrial applications. We have the experience and commitment to quality to do the job right. F&W Fence is an authorized dealer of Merchant Metals.
Hi, I'm Fred Martin. At F&W Fence, we take pride in our work. See for yourself. Call us today for a free estimate or visit our website. We've been building the best for less since 1970.
The Car Shop in Dallas wants to remind you the days are getting shorter and winter is coming. It's a good time to check your vehicle's essential functions. Mark and his crew at the Car Shop in Dallas will do a multi-point inspection to identify possible problems. A weak battery, headlights, fog lamps, wiper blades, and coolant are all important. The Car Shop will provide and install needed replacement parts on the spot. Don't be stuck on the side of the road. Call the Car Shop today and make an appointment at 503-623-9058.
From extremely hot climates to extremely cold, America is beautiful. And with Daikin Heating and Cooling, so is your indoor environment, regardless of the climate you live in. From air intelligent comfort solutions to financing options and outstanding limited warranties, no one understands your comfort needs like your Daikin Comfort Pro.
You're good to go.
Thanks.
Feels better already.
Daikin, air intelligence. Get a 16-year parts and labor warranty from Advantage Heating and Air.
Call 503-393-HEAT.
I'm Jason, owner of Valley Flooring Center. Right now, through the end of November, you can save hundreds or even thousands of dollars on flooring during our annual rebate sale. I've negotiated special pricing from our suppliers, and I want to pass the savings on to you. You can save up to $8 a yard on carpet, up to $2 a foot on luxury vinyl plank or laminate, and 50% on in-stock remnants. We work hard to give you the best price we can with great service. Come see me at my store, 4930 River Road in Kaiser, or visit us at valleyflooringcenter.com. CCB 222-960.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. Happy Friday. We're enjoying our JC's Pizza as usual today. And yes, pineapple belongs on pizza.
Yes, of course. Anything belongs on pizza.
There was an argument on my Facebook.
About anything.
Last week, I think, I posted the pizza, that it was lunchtime, and people were like, pineapple on pizza, yuck. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah, it's from that famous Italian recipe with all those Italian pineapples.
Right?
Uh-huh. That's how it works.
No, because Hawaiian.
Welcome back, folks.
Just saying.
Dave lived in Hawaii, so he's used to that kind of...
Pineapple goes on everything.
There you go. Welcome back. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We are talking about local issues in the Mid-Valley. Big news this week, of course, is NORPAC, which was once the largest food processing company in Oregon. 924 workers got notified they're going to lose their jobs. Company plans to close its Salem and Brooks plants in January. Of those 900, about 535 of them, it says in the Salem Reporter, if you want to check out the article, they're full-time jobs as opposed to the seasonal jobs.
Right.
So the question is that we posed before the break is how did it happen? Just 4 or 5 years ago, they built a new headquarters in Salem under much, to do, and partnered with Henderson Cold Storage. I've toured the plant, and I've gone from, it was very, very cool how they process the fresh vegetables coming out of our incredibly fertile valley, mm-hmm. and they're cleaning them, they're washing them, they're mixing them, they're doing the recipes, they're bagging them, and they're basically taking a pallet through the wall into frozen storage right next to door, and it goes right into frozen storage right away. It's very cool technology and a great partnership, it seemed like. So in operations, what happened that suddenly that they're not making as much money as they are spending? They lost $4 million in September.
What?
Yeah. So the labor costs in September were $5.1 million.
Ouch.
Yeah. So... they didn't recoup all of that, and they lost $4 million in their operations. And all the people that grew that fresh produce, they're part of the people that want to get paid.
Right.
If you're not familiar, NORPAC is a co-op of sorts. There's like 200 farmers who are members, and there are others that sell their product to NORPAC. But there's 200 farmers that they owe money, and NORPAC owes money to, and a bunch of other businesses, I guess. A lot of them are, there's like over 20 of them that are owed $300,000. I don't know about you, but that would certainly make a dent in my net worth. And over $1 million is owed to Henningsen Cold Storage, either for the services.
Rental? running this base.
Right. Well, for probably holding. That's how Henningsen makes a living, is taking in food product that people need to stay frozen while it ships to market. And that's their niche in the marketplace. So, and they've expanded in Salem. They not just invested there at Mitarona and 25th Street, but they subsequently built over on Cornyn Road in the Mill Creek Industrial Area and have a second frozen food facility there. So they're a pretty good taxpayer here in this area too, and there's no indication that they're a part of this in terms of losing jobs and cutting jobs or going bankrupt or any of that. So pension funds. This plays into the unions. Some of those workers are unionized, and so the Teamsters are involved in there, the cantery local. And the concern is that there's money owed to the pension funds. And I had this conversation this week, a little sidelight, but people talk about, well, having money in a pension is problematic, or there's some risk to it in case the pension goes bankrupt, like in the case of maybe, you know, United Auto Workers or things like that. What happens when GM goes bankrupt?
Right.
What happens when a company or a state of Oregon, don't fund the pension, $25 billion, as much as they need to actually administer the payouts. So one of the creditors that's involved in the bankruptcy proceedings, or more than one, will be these unions representing the workers. So farmers, they listed in the article Cudell Farms. So they have 650 acres of vegetables.
What?
That they've assigned to NORPAC. So they harvest, they assign it to NORPAC. NORPAC sells it on their behalf, and that's how the money goes around.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a big deal. It's also kind of interesting timing as Amazon gears up to hire 900 people.
Right. Well,
somewhere between 700 and 1,000 as they fully gear up. And so they're hiring people with full benefits. I've seen now their advertisements in terms of come work for us, and we're going to pay a minimum of $15 an hour, and you're going to have benefits. You're going to have retirement benefit and health benefit and so
forth. That's pretty good.
You know, it's a couple stones throws away from where NORPAC is.
Right.
So a lot of us were wondering where they're going to find 900 to 1,000 workers in an area that doesn't have a lot of unemployment already. So hopefully these workers, hey, we're with you, folks. We're with you, and we hope that you can rebound. Actually, we hope that somebody buys NORPAC. Oregon Potato Company had made a deal, and then they found some environmental concern, and it's a little foggy there. They talk about a bacterial presence or whatever, that a cleanup necessary. And I don't know if this is a bump in the road or a complete break on the deal. Or if it's a negotiation tactic.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, hopefully in a week or so, we'll be talking about good news and that these jobs are retained. People still eating, right?
Right.
People still going to buy green beans and carrots, right?
We do.
And beets and all these things.
I love beets.
So where's the disconnect? Where is the model that broke? Right? It's not clear.
I don't understand how NORPAC is not making money.
Yeah. Is it the marketplace? Is it international competition?
Could be.
It would be nice if NORPAC issued some sort of explanation to how they got here. Yes, you know, and if it's management issues or mismanagement issues, if it's grew too fast, expanded somewhere that the market wasn't. They did reference, you know, like I said, the move against maybe going into cans rather than cans going into frozen foods, and maybe they didn't respond to that. I'm just throwing out ideas.
Okay.
Are my questions.
They made a big move to bring everything here, corporate headquarters and everything, and expand here. And then the next year they're saying, We can't do it anymore?
We talk about
something's wrong there.
Yeah. We talk about the economic impact of the agricultural sector in the Mid-Willamette Valley, and it always bears repeating how incredible that is. And the valley doesn't work without the agricultural community.
Right.
Right? There's so many jobs. There's so much economic activity. There's so much value in the land and so forth. And Salem area, 4,900 people worked in food manufacturing, just the manufacturing of the food that's grown here.
Huh.
4,900 people.
That's a lot.
That is a lot when you talk about maybe, so 2.5% of the, that, well, that's statistics. They can get in the way. So Salem and Kaiser combined, a little over 200,000 people. So out of those 200,000 people, some of them are newborns. So I don't know what the number is for how many people are working age. But, you know, 5,000 people working just in food manufacturing is a pretty big number. Salem jobs, Salem and Brooks, NORPAC jobs, were 1/5 out of that. Meaning, you know, that those 1,000 workers, that's 20% of all those food manufacturing jobs are coming out of NORPAC.
Right.
And they're gone. They're gone.
It just doesn't make sense.
January. Unless, I mean, yeah, what are we going to do? We're going to hire some people out of Washington to process the foods? Are the workers, I mean, are the growers going to lose an entire year of crop or not get reimbursed for the ones that they assigned to NORPAC to package mm-hmm. and sell?
And what are the what are those 200 farmers going to do? What are they going
to
do?
Well, hopefully they'll become whole somehow. But they need to start scrambling for another market for their goods, right? Maybe they'll become whole through the bankruptcy process because the plants, I mean, they have assets. NORPAC has assets. They're in real estate and they're in equipment and they're in plants and so on and so forth. So they have assets. And once they get disposed of, once they...
liquidate them?
Yeah, if they need to. You know, hopefully everybody will get paid and be made whole. But it's still an incredible disruption in the agricultural community, which means sure. It's an incredible disruption in all of our economy.
Right.
You think this isn't going to affect how many people are buying new trucks? You think this is not going to affect how many people go out to dinner at a restaurant or go buy, you know, their local tap house because they got laid off? It's absolutely a huge wrinkle in our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And let's all hope for a positive resolution and maybe a new buyer sweep in with an either new model or a big influx of capital to do whatever they have to do to have systems that can be profitable and maintain these contracts, these relationships with these growers.
I'm sure there's got to be a bank or a lending institution that can help them, right?
Well, they have. They got a loan, a temporary loan, and they blew right through it.
Ooh,
and
then, that's not good.
Yeah, to continue operating through October 31st. So, because they thought they were going to close the sale, and October 31st came and went, and I think we saw in the article last week the bank's like, no, we won't be extending any more credit.
Wow.
Yeah. So, no further financing. That was confirmed and announced by Sean Campbell, who was NORPAC's president and CEO, and he's only been there a few years. They had very stable leadership for many, many years. And there was retirement, and Sean was hired to be the CEO and president. And what happened? Maybe we will get an expose coming out of the Salem Reporter and dive into not, hey, this is news that it is happening, but I think we in the Mid-Valley, we'd like to know why it's happening.
Right. Dig deeper.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope so. I hope it all works. Nobody wants to know if they're going to be losing their jobs at the holidays. We've certainly seen things like this happen in the past. I used to live pretty close to the mushroom plant. They used to grow mushrooms in what is now in the city limits over on Cordon Road between Center and State in that area. And you know how they grow mushrooms?
How?
They grow it in big heaping piles of chicken manure.
Makes sense.
Really charming in a residential area. But that did employ a lot of people in that area as they were growing mushrooms. And eventually, finally, they did shutter that plant, tear it down, and ship the stuff
mm-hmm.
Elsewhere. And now there's a big development going on there. They're going to build houses in that area. And that'll be nice for. And
they'll have nice green yards.
Yeah, nice green yards in addition. And way back, it was 20 years ago, AgriPac, and I remember this happening. It was a frozen vegetable processing company. They went bankrupt. Agri Frozen Foods, and they were in Woodburn. I remember this closed down, 300 jobs lost. And that mushroom plant just followed a couple years later. Picked,
wow,
picked sweet. And when the wind was a certain way, you're not living in the right area. You know what I mean? All right, hey, let's take a break. We got one more segment here on our Friday edition of Newsmakers. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, 1430 KYKN.
The Ducks are Pac-12 champions.
Your home for Oregon Ducks basketball.
Oregon is into the Sweet 16.
Pritchard fires a three at the buzzer, and it's good.
Crossover to the bucket for two.
Follow along all season as Oregon looks to defend its Pac-12 tournament crown.
Quarter three. Oh, my goodness.
Don't miss a second of the action on your home for Ducks basketball.
1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I love hauling wood, pulling trailers, and getting dirty. But it takes a lot out of this old truck. Time for a little oiling, some truck TLC. I love a good spot day.
Sounds like you need Jiffy Lube Signature Service Oil Change with conventional oil for only $24.99 with coupon. Plus, Jiffy Lube will check all of your fluids, vacuum your floors, and more while you lounge in our comfy waiting room. All for only $24.99. Do more in a jiffy. Get your coupon now at JiffyLubeOregon.com.
Ask for Pennzoil Motor Oil when getting a Jiffy Lube Signature Service Oil Change. Not just oil, Pennzoil.
Hi, this is Jerry at Total Comfort. Volcanoes and earthquakes are in the news. People are asking if their homes will survive an earthquake. Many homes built before the 90s have inadequate attachments. You can significantly improve your home when you have Total Comfort install engineered earthquake bracing. Call for a free estimate. Most folks tell us that the cost is less than they expected and much less than the estimates they have gotten from Portland area companies. Call today for a free estimate or on the web at TotalComfortSalem.com. Total Comfort, voted the best in Salem for the last 5 years in a row.
Big pre-Black Friday savings are on now at Cascade Farm and Outdoor in Kaiser. Danner's Pronghorn boots are just $129.99. That's 90 bucks off. Save $8 on a 14-pound bag of Taste of the Wild dried dog food for just $19.99. In our clothing department, all men's and women's Columbia clothing is 25% off. Store-wide, pre-Black Friday savings are going on now at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Northwest, homegrown, honest values.
I know, you thought your local Domino's couldn't make the $5.99 mix and match special any more awesome, but yes, we did. Mix and match any two or more of the following: a medium two-topping Domino's pizza, stuffed cheesy bread, eight-piece boneless chicken, pasta dish, an oven-baked sandwich, or our amazing new bread twist for only $5.99 each. And now you can make the pizza a large two-topping for only $3 more. Mix and match as many of these delicious Domino's items as you'd like for only $5.99 each. And don't forget to make your pizza large for just $3 more. Order online at Domino's.com today.
You know that the weather is changing to early darkness and dampness. Squirrels Taxi wants to remind you to drive a little slower. If you have trouble at night or have had too much party, contact Squirrels Taxi. They want to thank all of our veterans for the sacrifices they made for the nation. Tell a veteran thanks for your service during this season. Remember, don't take any risks. Squirrels Taxi will make sure you and your guests arrive at your destination safely. Contact Squirrels Taxi at 971-240-1208. 971-240-1208.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Happy to finishing up your noon hour here this fine Friday before we slip into Saturday football.
Right? Darn right.
Ducks and aren't the Ducks and Beavers both at home this weekend? So
I believe so.
You I-5 travelers, be careful. Ooh. Early start. Highway 99, anyone? Yeah. Anyway. we're talking about things that are affecting Oregonians in the Mid-Valley and our quality of life. There's a political topic coming up. We're going to be talking about this as it heads into next year's election. I believe the subject, we've talked about this before. Kevin Mannix, I believe, was a part of this conversation about the redistricting.
Yes, right? He was.
So yeah. Because we're doing the census in 2020, that will launch a need to do a redistricting of our legislative boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. And we know, if you've seen any maps, some of them get all completely wonky, and you're like, who made this up? And it's a situation, I like this phrase, where the legislators are picking their voters instead of the voters picking their legislators.
Right.
Right? And that's the problem. And the question is, for Oregon, will we be statesmen enough? Will we be statesmen-like enough to do what's right here and take it out of the hands of the politicians? Or will we be partisan and say, well, I live in a blue state with a lot of Democrats and I'm a Democrat, so I'm happy with the Democrats politicizing this and having their way at the borders, right? Which way will Oregon go? Interesting list, and this is why one of the reasons I brought it up, is an interesting list of organizations that are behind, and it's a ballot measure, so we'll be voting on it, to amend the Constitution on how we draw these district borders.
Can we get that in writing for their raises, too?
Yeah.
Get that out of their hands.
Well,
we give them the raise.
Well, then, Dave, then it would have two topics in one ballot measure, and Bev Clarno would throw it out.
You can't do that?
That's right. Bev Clarno would instantly throw out that
one. No, I'll do a separate one.
Okay, separate one. Let's sign the initiative. Here we go. So this initiative would set up a... a citizen commission, and you would have Republicans, you'd have Democrats, and you'd have people who are none of the above, right?
Okay.
Or neither of those two, I should say.
Sure.
And then they would go through, hopefully, a pragmatic and rational, somewhat scientific method of that's clear, instead of just drawing borders based upon who's registered to vote in what quantity where. Because right now, like, oh, well, this blurb over here, if we stretch through this boulevard and then grab them, we'll get a whole bunch of registered people in our party. So it'll just be completely nonsensical.
I mean, that's like when they drew the line on, and, oh, Representative so-and-so lives here. Let's go around his house.
And that, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So anyway, I won't get into the heart of that today, other than it's coming up, and maybe we can get Kevin Mannix back on to see if this initiative that we're talking about, heard recently about, is the same initiative that he is proposing. Because listen to the list of people that have endorsed this. League of Women Voters of Oregon, Oregon Farm Bureau. To me, one of those skews left and one of those skews right.
Yeah.
Common Cause of Common Cause Oregon, the Independent Party of Oregon, NAACP of Eugene and Springfield, Taxpayer Association of Oregon, OSPERG, one of those skews left and one of those skews right, American Association of University Women of Oregon, and Oregon Progressive Party, and many others. That sounds like a pretty good coalition.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they're right. I hope this works. I hope we can do something together as Oregonians that is right for all citizens.
I'll throw a party if that happens.
And the depoliticization. I can't even talk today.
No, you can't.
Taking
it's
the politics. let's just call it taking the politics out of the districting, which that gerrymandering, history, it's just unseemly.
Yeah.
Right? It's just... unseemly. It's just, people call it, business as usual in politics, and if whoever's in charge likes it that way, then they're going to keep it that way and never change. Well, it's going to take we the people.
Right.
It's going to take we the people, folks. So pay attention to this. Watch for this. Get educated on this. And we'll be talking about it here on Newsmakers. All right. Couple of minutes left. I got a question for you, Dave Bourne, because I know you watch.
Brent the Heart laid on me.
You watch a little bit of sports.
Oh, just a little bit. Yeah.
So college athletes, Oregon's kind of jumping in, and there's indication that Oregon would jump in and maybe pay NCAA collegiate athletes. What are your thoughts on that?
What's the restrictions?
That's the fine print, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What are the restrictions? I get it, because you're giving them sometimes a $50,000, a $60,000 education, right?
Right.
So the argument is that they're being paid. And then you have people coming from lower-income households that do not have a means of support. They already restrict where they can have and do for summer jobs because, people who are trying to do sleight of hand with the money that hire them, the 350-pound lineman to come do this construction job, but he never came to work and they paid him anyway. There were cases of those back going back to the 70s, right? And so where do you work to make the money if you don't come from money? And that's a problem for these athletes. It's a real problem that needs to be addressed. Now, they can have, can feed them so many meals, and they can have tutors and academic programs and the education. But if there's no pocket change, and someone comes from a very disadvantaged area, there's a big disconnect and a little bit of just untenable structure there. So they say, well, what if you pay them? What really bothers me about it, I will tell you since you asked, is that the NCAA and the college owns their likeness and their name, and they can't use their likeness, their image, and their name to make money.
Wow.
As someone who used to use his likeness to make money, that really rubs me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if Dave Bourne, you're the most incredible outside linebacker, and people really like you because of your sterling personality, and they want you to endorse their product, you wouldn't be able to do that if you're an NCAA athlete. You can't do it now. So, yeah, there are restrictions, and there needs to be, because you don't want graft in the game.
Right.
And you don't want people saying, hey, you know, why don't you take a picture in front of my car lot and let me slip you $5,000 for virtually nothing in a way of, you know, backing mm-hmm. into and paying the athlete mm-hmm. for, you know.
I think they play better when they don't get paid, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to administer, and wherever the lines are drawn, folks.
It's like online gambling.
Someone is going to cross that line.
Always.
Doesn't matter where we draw that line. Right now it's drawn as no.
Right.
And we can move the line, and we can make restrictions, but somebody's going to cross that line, and it's going to be an incredible headache job to try to enforce this.
Mm-hmm.
Tough topic. But it's interesting, worth discussing. Hey, thanks for being here with us today. We covered a lot of topics, and I hope it was interesting enough you'll come back on Monday. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and have a great weekend from 1430 KYKN.
See you Monday.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Boone Ridge Senior Living is a lifestyle choice.